Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Welcome, old-time radio lovers, to the RTC Weekly Download with me, Jim Dolan, your host. Today, we're going to do some buccaneering on the ocean or somewhere like that with Crime Classics and Blackbeard's 14th Wife from 1953. That's coming up in 30 minutes, but first, some comedy with Fanny Brice and The Fanny Brice Show. This is from 1945.
It's time for Fanny Brice's Baby Snooks with Daddy, Danny Thomas, and Carmen Dragon's orchestra. But now, Toby Reed, set the scene.
Well, it's a bright, sunshiny day in Sycamore Terrace, and coming down the street towards the drugstore of that sour-faced Mr. Tremble is that gay young man in gray, Danny Thomas, in the role of Jerry Dingle, that daydreaming postman.
Hello, Mr. Tremble.
Hello, Jerry.
Oh, bright and cheery as usual. Hey, Mr. Tremble, I don't like to ask you a personal question, but why is your face always so green?
I don't like to ask you a personal question, Jerry, but why don't you mind your own business?
That's a personal question.
You know, Jerry, it's a lucky thing I hate people.
Why?
Well, I wouldn't want to make an exception of you.
You know, I'm glad you're a little confusing, Mr. Tremble. Otherwise, I don't think I'd like that remark.
Oh, hello, Mr. Tremble. Oh, say, Jerry, on your way back to the post office, would you hand this deed to Mr. Peroni at the City Hall?
Mr. Peroni? I don't remember him.
Oh, sure you do. He's got a great big smile for everyone.
Big smile?
Yeah, nice disposition.
Yeah?
And a wonderful personality.
A big smile, nice disposition, wonderful personality. Oh, I remember him now. What a rat he is.
If I had $1 million...
Help, Daddy!
Snooks, I thought I told you to stay home and take care of Robespierre.
He's all right, Daddy. I left him out in front where the kids are playing baseball.
What makes you think they'll watch after Robespierre when they're playing baseball?
He's home plate.
Well, just run back and see that he's all right.
No, I want to stay with you. Where are you going?
No place.
Are you going to play pinball machine at Crumble?
No, and stop following me.
Are you looking for cigarette butts again?
Now, don't be ridiculous.
I just saw you pick one up.
All right, so I was lucky. Now go on home.
I don't wanna.
Well, if it'll make you any happier to know, I bought a house.
Why? We got one.
This is for investment purposes. I've made a partial payment, and I'm on my way to the bank right now to get the rest of the money. The whole thing is going to be a surprise for Mummy.
Whose money are you going to get?
Mummy's money.
Is that the surprise?
If you must know, it's a joint account.
What's that?
It means both your mummy and I can take money out of it.
You and me must have a joint account in my piggy bank.
Never mind that. Now run along home. I have business to take care of in the bank here.
What are you going to do?
You wouldn't understand.
Ah, now, what are you going to do?
I'm going to take out all my resources and put them in escrow. Does that mean anything to you?
Uh-huh. You're going to take out all your horse races and put them in a scarecrow.
Well, that is the silliest thing.
Yeah, ain't it silly, Daddy?
Come on, I want to tell that to the manager of the bank.
Yeah, let's tell him.
Oh, there he is now. Hey, Jim.
What's the joke, Egan?
This'll kill you.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Snooks. Tell him what I'm going to do.
You're going to take out all your resources and put them in escrow.
What's so funny about that?
What a dirty trick. I'll see you later, Jim.
All right, I'll be down the hall in my office.
Daddy, what are all those people standing in line for?
This is a bank. Oh. What do you think they're standing in line for?
To feed peanuts to the monkeys in the cages.
They're not monkeys.
Are you sure?
I ought to be. I give them my salary every week.
Well?
Well, what?
That's peanuts.
I wish Mummy had stopped talking in front of you kids. Oh, here's a window that's free.
Are you going to get some money for nothing?
No.
No?
I mean, there's a teller here, and she isn't busy.
Gee, she's funny looking.
Shh. Teller might hear you.
The what?
Teller.
Gee, you're funny looking.
I'd like to make a withdrawal, please. I knew I shouldn't have let you come in.
Here you are, sir.
Oh, thank you. Well, come on, Snooks.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to go to Mr. Jackson's office.
Where is it?
Right down this hall.
Oh.
See, the names are written on the doors.
Mm-hmm.
You look on that side, and I look on this side. Bemelman.
Winkleman.
Councilman.
Gentleman.
Jackson. Here it is. Escrow department.
Oh, there you are, Mr. Higgins. It's all ready for you to sign. Just sign here.
Oh, yes. Thank you. There we are. Snooks. This is the start of the Higgins financial empire.
Mm-hmm.
I'll sell this house at a profit and buy another one. Then another and another. And that'll only be the beginning.
Just the beginning?
Yes. Do you know when I'll really get going?
Uh-huh. When Mommy finds out you took her money out of the bank.
Oh, don't be a wet blanket. Let's go out and look at our house.
You're always looking at houses.
And now let's listen to Carmen Dragon and the orchestra play his arrangement of Anything Goes.
Number, Carmen.
Thanks, Jerry. Did you hear all of it?
Yeah, that business of making so much noise on Anything Goes is very good, you know? It stays in your mind.
Well, thank you.
Say, Carmen, what kind of an instrument did you use to make that shot?
A gun.
Oh, a gun? You mean if I go hunting, I gotta join the musicians' union?
Well, no, Jerry, but I always try to get real effect in my orchestra.
Oh, that's the best way, Carmen. If you want to get fiddle music, there's nothing like a fiddle.
That's right, Jerry. The same goes for a trumpet.
Well, I suppose so, but a bugle is just as good. Well, so long, Carmen.
Where are you going, Jerry?
Oh, I got to see Mr. Peroni down at the City Hall. Oh, dun 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 dun. Anything goes. Bang, bang. Oh, that's so good. You know, I like that.
let's pick up our postman as he enters the office of Mr. Peroni.
Hello, Peroni.
Hello, Mr. Peroni.
Oh, you don't have to call me mister. Besides, I'm not Peroni.
What do you want?
Well, Mr. Higgins told me to give you this deed.
Oh, Mr. Higgins thinks I'm still the registrar, huh? He probably doesn't know that I'm now the district attorney.
You're the district attorney?
That's right.
Just like I always said, it's not what you know, it's who you know, you know?
Do you mean to insinuate that my position of prominence was obtained through political influence rather than personal merit?
Oh, I'd never say that. You probably had a friend who got you the job.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's right. You haven't got any friends.
You public servant, get out of here.
Yeah, what'll I do with this deed?
Get out!
Big shot district attorney. What is it, so tough to be a district attorney? All you have to do is go to college and get your D.A. I could be a D.A. I could be higher than that. I could be a D.B. Wise guy calls me a public servant. I wish I was his servant. They'd have more respect for me. That guy always had an angle. I remember him during the Depression days when people were jumping through windows. He got a job fixing windows. Me, I got hit by a man. Mr. Peroni says to me. I should have said, you don't have to tell me. I deliver mail to your wife. I know you're not Mrs. Peroni, I should have said. That would have taken too long. He'd have thrown me out by then. So what? I didn't say anything. He threw me out anyway. What a day. I didn't have a fight. I walked out, didn't deliver the deed. No hits, no runs, no errands. Wow. You know, Dingle, I admire you. You're feeling miserable and you can still think of a joke. Sure, when am I going to let a D.A. get me down? I could be much bigger than him. I could be a fighting D.A. Sure, why not? It's a free country. I'm a citizen.
Here comes the fighting D.A.
Yes, here he comes now.
Looks mad.
Hi, D.A.
Hi, D.B.
Hi, D.A.
Hi, D.C.
Hi, D.A.
Hi, D.D. Hi, D. Hi, D. Hi. Now, listen, men. My record as the greatest D.A. is being threatened. Killer Peroni is still on the loose. The papers are cracking down on me, and those Sunday issues are getting heavier all the time.
Well, get him, D.A. What's he done?
Plenty. He shot 85 men, 63 women, and 23 kids.
Well, what you want it for?
Carrying a gun without a license. And then I'm offering a reward for him.
What's the reward, D.A.?
$500 dead, $1,000 alive. Bring him in half dead, he gets $750. And remember this, I don't care how you get him. Anything goes. Must be dreaming.
Hey, D.A., listen to this. A murder's just been committed out the baseball field. The body was found dead right outside the third baseline.
Looks like foul play. Hello, Mr. Dingle, attorney speaking.
Hello, D.A. This is Special Operative 123 plus tax. We're trailing the Peroni mob.
The Peroni mob, that's wonderful.
We've been chasing them for 50 miles.
How are you making out?
Great, we're getting 18 miles to the gallon.
I don't care about that. Are you catching them up?
Don't worry, we will. We made Glendale to Riverside in 30 minutes flat.
What are you doing now?
Fixing the flat.
Well, hurry up. If you don't catch them in the next 30 miles, come back.
Why?
We only got a B book. What's the matter? Is the Peroni mob shooting at you?
Nah, it's just my bubble gum. Bye.
Ben, we finally located the Peroni mob. Now's our chance. Ryan, you go with Nelson. Right. Gordon, you go with Mayor. Right. Jellison, can you play Gin Rummy?
Yes.
And you come with me. I meant to ask you, Jelly. You were supposed to cover the First National Bank last night. Where were you?
Oh, I was at the Second National Bank.
That's a big idea.
That's where I keep my money.
Oh.
Calling all cars, calling all cars. Be on the lookout for Butch Peroni. He is wearing a dark blue coat and trousers, brass buttons and police badge 4522. Also go to Third National Bank, pick up Officer Ryan. He is wearing a nightstick, that is all.
Holy smoke, let's get going. He's headed for the Fourth National Bank.
What are you so excited about, Dingle?
That's where I keep my money. All right, Peroni, I got you surrounded.
I ain't worried.
Why not?
I'm in here with Humphrey Bogart.
Humphrey Bogart?
Yeah.
Got a match? Hey, what am I doing here? Don't fool around with me. What are you guys doing in there?
We're robbing a bank.
What do you think you are, the board of directors? Come on, I'll give you 2 minutes to get out of there.
Chief, remember, that's Peroni you're talking to. He's killed 23 DAs in a row.
Peroni, I'll give you 48 hours to come out.
Hey, you, get away. I'm going to shoot through the door.
You shoot through the door and I'll shoot through your heart.
Who said that?
I said that. I shouldn't have said that.
You can't finish me, Peroni. You asked for it. Listen, Peroni, listen.
Don't defy my authority. Come out, and surrender to me. For if you force me to come in there, your fate will be worse than death in the chair.
You fools! Don't you know you cannot win for? This is what you're letting yourselves in for!
I'll be mad at you.
Oh, no, not that!
I'll be mad at you.
Please spare us that!
Now, you may not like to hear it, but you're very stubborn men. If you oppose my will, I'll never talk to you again. I'll be irked with you.
Your anger's great.
I'll be irked with you.
Oh, cruel fate.
Now you know how much I want you to come out. And you refuse? You're monkeying with dynamite. And you can only lose. If you guys don't give up, do you know what's in store for yous?
What?
I'll hate yous with all my might.
I'll punish you. I'll put you in a room and lock the latch. A room that's filled with cigarettes and not a single match. I'll meet you in the street when there's a heat of 102. Then I'll blandly ask you, warm enough for you? When you buy some shirts on sale and think you were in luck, I'll ask you what you paid for them and tell you you were stuck. I'll give my life to bring your lawless living to a close. But when you start with me, you'll find anything goes. Boy, send the center. Did she go?
I'll be sorry at you.
We're all so hurt.
I'll be sorry at you.
Don't do us dirt.
You know, crime doesn't pay, and as the DA, I hear my duty call. I warn you here and now, I won't show mercy if you stall. If you guys don't come out, I'll bang my head against the wall.
Oh. I did, too.
I'll hate you with all my might.
Carmen Dragon with his arrangement of I Know That You Know.
find Snooks and Daddy en route to the house that Daddy has bought with Mummy's money. Dusk is falling.
Oh, Daddy, I'm tired. When are we going to get there?
Now, don't be so impatient, Snooks. The real estate man said he was only 5 miles from town.
What town?
I wish I knew. Gosh, it got awfully dark fast, didn't it?
I don't think so. It took all day.
Well, that's one way of looking at it. Say, there's a signpost. I'll stop the car and we'll see where we are.
Oh, it's too high up, Daddy. I can't see a thing.
Oh, neither can I. Snooks, one of us will have to climb up there and read it.
One of us?
Yes.
Which one?
Oh, what's the difference? I'll give you a boost.
Up you go.
Well, what does the sign say?
West Point.
West Point? Why, that's impossible. Get out of my way. I'd better climb up myself and read it.
Oh, Daddy, you better come down off the pole.
Why?
You were right. It isn't West Point.
What is it?
Wet paint.
Oh. Something wrong, folks?
Yeah. We're lost.
We're looking for number 5, Oak Tree Road.
Oh, you mean the old haunted house by the cemetery.
Do you know what, Daddy?
What?
I think we better stay lost.
Oh, don't be ridiculous. Listen, mister, can you tell me how to get there?
Well, it takes 5 minutes.
To get there?
No, to tell you how. Take it down the road a piece.
Gee, it's spooky in here, Daddy.
Oh, come on. You don't believe in spooks, do you?
Don't I?
Oh, that was just the door. I'll light a candle and show you around. It's really a lovely house. Snooks, hold the candle still. How can I light it when it's shaking so?
I ain't holding it.
You aren't?
No, you got it in your other hand.
Oh, yes. I bet you think I'm afraid.
I bet you're right.
Look at this beautiful room. What a buy I made. Why, these floors are solid oak.
What are all those little holes in the floor?
They're not holes.
They look like holes to me.
They are holes.
But you said they're not holes.
That's right.
What's right?
They're not holes.
Well, Daddy, are they holes or ain't they holes?
Yes, they are not holes. Now, do you understand?
Yes, I don't.
Stop picking on this house. There's not a floor in it.
Not a floor in it?
No.
Then what are we standing on?
The floor.
But you said there was no floor.
I did not.
I don't like this house.
Snooks, don't be so contrary. This is a wonderful house and a swell investment. I can get a big resale out of it.
Why?
Because there's no ceiling on this house.
Here we go again.
Follow me and we'll look at the other rooms. Gosh, it's drafty in here, isn't it?
Yeah.
Close that window.
All right, Daddy.
Why, there's still a draft. Did you close that window?
I closed it around the edges. But it's still open in the middle.
Oh, broken. Well, what's a broken window as long as the rest of the house has a good sturdy... Well, don't just stand there. Help me out of this hole.
Gee, this floor is shaky.
You can say that again.
Gee, this floor is shaky.
Let's go into the dining room.
The door is closed. And it's stuck.
It is not. It just doesn't open that way.
It does now.
How do you like that? Broken doors, broken windows, broken floors. What'll I do when Mummy finds out I've been swindled?
Duck.
This is nothing but an old deserted dump.
And besides, it's full of old, dirty old spooks.
Now, don't be silly. Hey,
I thought I heard footsteps.
You thought?
Oh, I must be imagining things. Sophia, don't be frightened. Here, let me hold your hand.
Yeah.
Now, are you still afraid?
No, Daddy. Are you?
Of course not.
Then why are you biting my fingernails?
Oh, pardon me. Well, if there's somebody in the house, I'm going to find out.
Hello.
Hello.
Just an echo.
Are you sure?
Certainly. Listen.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm Lancelot Higgins.
So what?
Are you still sure?
Hey, Snooks, Mr. Higgins.
Oh, gee, Mr. Dingle, why's the echo? Oh,
hello, Snooksy.
Hello.
Say, Mr. Higgins, I brought a man over. He wants to buy your house.
Wants to buy my... Oh, boy, this is my chance.
I'll wait outside. Oh, Mr. Taylor, here's the man you want to see.
How do you do, Higgins? I'm a man of action. How much do you want for this house?
Well, I must consider. It's a beautiful house. Wonderful location.
Yeah, and right next to the cemetery.
Well, you can't live forever. Out here in the country, you'll get plenty of sunshine.
Because there ain't no ceiling.
That's what I said. There's plenty of sunshine.
And there's no floors, and the windows and the doors are broken.
Oh, what a child.
Mr. Higgins, I'll give you 2,000 cash, dollar for dollar what you pay.
Why?
Never mind why. I'll take it, Mr. Taylor.
All right. Here's the money and good day, sir.
Good day.
Hey, did you make a good deal, Mr. Higgins?
Wonderful, Jeff.
Yeah, he said he was prepared to pay $10,000 because the railroad's going to build through here.
Railroad? $10,000? Oh, I'm sick.
Don't worry, Daddy. We wouldn't like the house anyway.
We wouldn't? Why not?
We'd have to get up in the middle of the night to let the trains through.
That my hair isn't curly, and I know that my features are plain. I'm not very strong, I have lots of things wrong, but I have the perfect brain.
Don't you believe it?
Who said
that? I'm the smartest man in the world. I can speak in any tongue. When I dine, I know just what the menu means. I can order julienne crouton, la benedict souffle. Can I help it if it always turns out beans? I'm the smartest man in the world. I can figure income tax, and it doesn't cause the slightest mental drop. I can add dependence to the gross times 30 million bucks. It'll come in handy if I find a job. I can figure out a gadget that'll run a plane large enough to hold a troop on. It'll fly 4 years on a gallon of gas. Can anyone spare a coupon? I'm the smartest man in the world. I'm a super genius plus. There is nothing that my brain cannot construe. I'll go down as the most brilliant man the country ever had since Columbus came in 1462. Or was it Roosevelt? I'm a self-reliant mental giant, very zealous, Einstein's jealous, the very smartest man in the world.
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.
And speaking of Fanny, what's Pinsler doing sitting around in his dressing room? Why isn't he down here singing Some Enchanted Evening?
Mr. Pinsler is not singing Some Enchanted Evening on this program, darling.
Well, somebody's going to sing Some Enchanted Evening in this darling program, even if it's only darling me. Wilson with two L's. How about a darling chorus? Some enchanted evening, you will meet a stranger. You will meet a stranger across a crowded room, and then you will know, you'll know even then, that someday you'll meet her. Again and again. Yes, that's the way it happened. I was at a party some years ago. It was a cocktail party. Shrimp cocktails. Smallest drinks I ever saw. All of a sudden, I looked across the crowded room, and there wasn't a stranger in the place. So I went to another party, and there I saw her. I cut across the room. I took her in my arms, and I kissed her full on the lips. And she said, "Take that cheap cigar out of my mouth." Well, at party after party, I saw her again, and again, and again, and again, and again. It was during the Roosevelt administration. And then at one party, I met another stranger. A stranger. Her husband. He hit me so hard, I would have fallen out of a 15-story window. But I managed to grab a hold of the straps of her strapless evening gown. Once you have found her, never let her go. Once you have found her, never let her go.
Groucho, that was divine.
I could have sung louder, but I didn't want to make a bum out of Pinsler.
This is Crime Classics. I am Thomas Highland with another true story of crime. Listen. That's a pair of scissors, hand-wrought in gold in the shape of a peacock. The young lady who's using them is trimming her husband's beard. The beard has just been washed to get the blood out of it. For, a few hours ago, out on the bounding main, her husband stabbed a few fellows from up close. And the beard has been perfumed, too, to get the gunpowder and sulfur smells out of it. Because there's just been a battle. And now the beard is being trimmed, before curling. Because her husband is very vain about his beard. It is a black beard, which caused some 18th century pundit to dub him Blackbeard. His real name, Edward Teach. Profession, pirate. His wife, Hannah. Hannah's all done. The beard's all ready for curling. Such a good wife. Oh, no, she wasn't. Tonight, my report to you on Blackbeard's 14th wife. Why, she was no good for him.
Crime Classics. A series of true crime stories from the records and newspapers of every land and every time. Your host each week, Mr. Thomas Highland, connoisseur of crime, student of violence, and teller of murders. Now, once again, Thomas Highland. The year of 1714. The place is the Caribbees. Two vessels locked in combat. One flying the Skull and Bones. The other, the three-penitent gonfalon of the Duc de la San Alban. The very Duc de la San Alban who boasted to history that his 40-gun vessel La Panque would never be boarded by pirates. Well, it was, wasn't it? And the Duke, he was defending himself against a pirate, Edward Teach by name, and here's what was happening. Teach had just disengaged into the cart line. The Duke parries cart. There goes Teach into the Valestra, calculated to throw the Duke off balance, but the Duke parries, goes into a doublé, a Moulinet now, lunge, parry, and Teach faints in the advance 1-2, lunges. And the Duke goes down without a sound. Which, as you will recall, is the way the Duke swore he would die. So Edward Teach and his pirates won the prize La Panque, renamed it Queen Anne's Revenge, and sailed disguised as merchantman into Jamaica. Here, in a small waterfront cafe, he made friends.
Now, let's drink a toast, eh, Captain?
Aye, I'll make you one. I drink to Captain Edward Teach.
To yourself, Captain.
To Captain Edward Teach, whose name's going to be known about.
What a one you are. Isn't he a one, mate, huh?
Yeah. Oh, he's a one.
You shot my captain.
You rather wish it was you.
You shot me, Captain Teach. I would not be able to drink to Captain Teach.
Drink you.
Don't shoot me, Captain. I drink high to Captain Teach. I drink high to Captain Teach, whose name going to be known about.
Drain it.
Captain.
Drain it, or I'll let what you drunk out again.
To Captain Edward Teach.
I need me a mate. You be mate to Captain Teach. Aye.
That's how Edward Teach got a first mate. His name was Kirk. And you might like to know that later in his career, Kerf struck out on his own vessel, crew, and Jolly Roger. But Kerf, in his very first encounter with a Britisher, got pinned to the mast by a cutlass. So we know that his period of association with Teach was happier than when he worked for himself. Teach and Kerf sailed from Jamaica, where they'd met, to Nassau. On the way... And they captured the sloop Invincible, threw all her hands to the sharks, took aboard her booty, then scuttled her. And in Nassau, on the silver sands of Nassau, when the silver moon was younger than it is now...
Oh, it's so silky. And curls of... Oh, and beautiful.
Some call me Blackbeard.
Blackbeard.
Well?
The name is apt.
Hannah.
Oh, so silly.
How many years have you, Hannah?
Enough to let the wisdom in.
Of what?
Of men. Yes, even men with black beards.
But none such as mine.
None, sir. It is true.
How many years have you, Hannah? Actual years.
6 and 10.
Yeah. Well, your wife to me.
Such as you, and you have no wife.
Here I have no wife in the Bahamas.
But elsewhere?
Mary, Genevieve, Margot, Prudence, Molly, Sharon.
How many?
13. 13, Hannah. A number which is not lucky.
And this is the reason you wish to wife me?
The touch you have with my beard. I'd lonely for it.
I'll marry with you, but...
But what?
This pirating of yours...
What of it?
You play at it.
How play?
You'll be one of many pirates, small men with small wants and small names. Do you not wish a large name?
Some call me Blackbeard.
Then make the most of it.
What do you know of pirate?
Look to me.
And?
Now fan out your beard. So. And in braids over your ears. So. And punk to light among its silk. And under your hat, lighted matches. Oh, what a fearsome thing. What terror could you conjure, Blackbeard of Hades? Well, what think you?
I would kiss you.
Then do it. Oh, and now I wish a wish to make.
Woman, a wedding wish, that's what.
Yes.
Then name it.
Shall I?
The highest star that sends a glimmer on, yours. The moon that orbs a silver on darkened sea, yours. And the sun that...
Oh, poo.
What?
Poo, I said. I wish none of these.
Then what?
This island. This Nassau. What laughter?
That you have but 16 years and such a dream.
This island. I want it.
And you shall have it.
Now.
Later.
What manner of rapscallions be you two?
When my mate has a craving for an apple, he has no care whose table it is off, nor yours, the governor's.
And I sentence both of you to the gibbet.
For eating an apple?
For murder. For the murder of my guard.
It was the only way we could get to see you.
Oh? And what profession do you have, besides rapscallery, that is?
Piracy.
What say you?
Having finished of the apple, my mate says piracy.
And I say it twice. I sentence the two of you to the gibbet. Guards, take these two rags to hang.
Haste not, Governor.
Oh?
Haste not, because I say.
Saying?
I am here on an errand of romance. I am here on an errand of beauty.
Oh?
I have this morning been wed to a girl of 10 and 6.
I fight back the salty tears.
You will weep.
Make me weep, condemned man.
Aye. This girl of 10 and 6, she wishes a wedding gift.
How like a maiden?
She wishes this island. This city and all that's in it.
Then I will instruct Hangman to hang thee by a rapid method he knows, so thy bride cannot ask thee for the world.
Just this island, and she will have it.
Oh?
Oh, indeed, if my calculations are correct. What say you, mate?
Take these clowns and... What is this?
Go to the window and you will see it, Governor. 4 sloops there are of yours in the harbor. They will die there. My vessel, Queen Anne's Revenge... And the men that's on will sink your ships and block your harbor and hold captive your city. Say ho, Governor, so long as your mouth is open. Say ho and believe it. I'll get you to the window and look.
Oh.
The governor then gave apples to everybody. Everybody except Edward Teach. Him, he gave the Bahama Islands. It was a good thing, too, else Nassau would have been put to the torch. All the pirates enjoyed this state of affairs very much. No wonder. Let us look in on a typical week in the life of Blackbeard's pirates. Monday, leave Nassau and pick up the trade winds, straddle the Gulf Stream someplace, and wait for a prey. Then... Then...
Right on, Pantale, Roger!
Then...
Hand me my beard and hair matches.
Then...
How do I look?
Terrifying. The French will quiver in their silk.
And then... And Blackbeard never lost a fight. True, some of his men would get killed and have to be given to the sea, but the survivors never had it so good. Like as not, they were back in Nassau by Friday night, and there were welcome arms to greet them, with Caribbean poultices to soothe their wounds. And on Saturday night, what they liked to do best was pay homage to their leader.
I give you Captain Edward Teach. I give you Blackbeard, whose name is known about.
Oh, they love you so much, Edward.
And this place.
Oh, it's a pity.
What is?
Walk with me, Edward, outside a while.
Yes.
I said, Edward, that it's a pity.
And I asked, what is?
That we shall leave here soon.
But these 6 months, you...
Have you noticed that less and less ships appear?
Aye, that is so.
But this, there are many ships along the Carolina coast.
Aye. And so?
Many ships which carry provisions and stores to the colonies, and many ships bearing riches back to Europe in return.
You're a bright tuckling.
Good wife to you.
Aye. Aye, indeed.
Wait.
Wait.
Will we do it? Will we go to the Carolines?
But Nassau, this I gave to you, and hardly have you used it.
I've used it enough. Now the Carolines.
If you wish it.
I wish it.
Yes. Good wife.
Oh, silky beard. Curlsome, silky black beard.
They sailed a week later, and the night before they disembarked on the shores of North Carolina, Blackbeard and his pirate crew gave Mrs. Blackbeard a party on her birthday. She was 10 and 7.
Listening to Crime Classics and your host, Thomas Highland. Dramatic actors play comedy roles, comedians interpret the drama. This Friday night, as CBS Radio's Stage Struck introduces that exclusive theatrical fraternity, The Players. Participants will be Franklin P. Adams, Gene Hirschholt, Jimmy Cagney, Ray Bolger, Bobby Clark, Charles Coburn, Cedric Hardwick, Bert Lahr, Charles Lawton, and hosts more of The Players. It's Friday night on CBS Radio's Stage Struck, now heard half an hour later on most of these same stations. And now once again, Thomas Highland and the second act of Crime Classics, and his report to you on Blackbeard's 14th wife, why she was no good for him. I would like to say a few words about governors. New World governors, vintage early 1700s. First of all, I would like to say that many of them had brothers-in-law back in England at court, connections, or else they had won an important battle, or took part in an important scandal, or they were just fellows who the king or queen didn't want in the old country anymore. Some of the colonial governors of this era were wise and intelligent administrators, but others were cheaters. That is, thieves. That is, they stole their colonies blind. Let us then look in on a scene. The governor of North Carolina and Edward Teach, pirate, standing in the reception room of the governor's mansion with their arms about each other's shoulders.
I hear they call you Blackbeard.
Yes.
I hear you stick lighted matches in your beard and in your hair.
Yes.
Just don't do it when I'm around.
Just don't go to sea, Governor.
Why should I?
It's good here in North Carolina, isn't it?
Oh, better, since you surrendered to me. The people cheer me when I walk the streets.
And they cheer me, too, since you issued the writ granting amnesty to me and my men. It's a good feeling.
Worth 1,000 gold pieces you paid me?
My wife said you would have been satisfied with 500.
How was your wife?
Very good.
She was right.
Pirate. Governor.
Call me pirate again.
Pirate. Sea robber. Swashbuckler. Listen.
Yes?
Let's conspire.
Again?
Again.
Good.
The men are restless. They're grumbling.
Oh?
They want to go to sea again.
And they want a good fat galleon to plunder.
Yes.
The vessel Angel's Head is due to arrive about a week from now from Portsmouth.
Oh? Carrying what?
Sugar, gold, silks, and 2 ladies from the court.
A week from now?
Yes. And Captain Teach.
Aye?
The 2 ladies from the court. One of them is Lady Barbara Falmouth. You must know why she's leaving England.
As I heard.
But it's true, every word of it. And, Captain.
Aye.
Of the rest of the booty.
50%.
Like always.
Like always.
I'll walk with you to the door.
Blackbeard went immediately then to the den where his pirates were grumbling and told them the news. They stopped grumbling, hailed him a merry, merry, merry lad, and sharpened their cutlasses. A few days later, they put to sea and... The results of which? Sugar, gold, silk confiscated, 2 ladies of the court never heard of again, and the ship Angel's Head put to the torch. This was just about the way things went. A chat with the governor.
The ship Las Flores from Lisbon, due in a fortnight, Captain.
Tell the boys. Put to sea and... Then...
Half for you, Governor. Half for me.
And once, after a particularly successful sortie...
Half for you, Governor. Half for me.
Tonight we shall have a ball.
Good.
Bring your wife.
I will.
And this Lieutenant Maynard is Hannah Teach.
Delighted.
Lieutenant of what?
You'll excuse me.
Lieutenant? Of what?
Of the Navy, His Majesty's. Miss Teach.
Mrs.
You're joking.
For nearly 2 years now. Edward Teach is my husband.
Edward Teach? Blackbeard?
Yes. Would you care to meet him?
Well...
My husband's a big man and a strong man. Are you frightened to meet him, Lieutenant?
I would very much like to meet your husband. Where is he?
He was standing there a moment ago, speaking with the governor's lady.
Then another time.
Come, we will look for him.
Really?
Come.
Very well. But that was your husband who we saw pass us and go toward the...
Hush.
Why did you not call out to him then?
Hush.
Really?
Bend to me.
Really?
Yes.
Very well.
Oh, how soft is your cheek. Soft and beardless.
Your husband's beard is truly magnificent.
It reeks either of battle tar or perfume. I cannot stand it.
Really?
Really.
Mrs. Teach...
If you say it softly, you may say Hannah.
Hannah?
Just so.
How many years have you?
10 and 8.
I have 20 and one.
Bend to me again the softness of your cheek.
I want to.
Young.
As you are young.
Hold me.
I want to. Hannah?
Yes?
No, what I mean is, where does your husband hide his ship?
What?
I am curious of it. Where does he hide his ship?
On the province of Friendship, the third inlet off the river. Why?
I was curious of it.
Do you have a curiosity?
About all things.
About me?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
I hate the governor of North Carolina.
Of course you do.
Now listen to me, Lieutenant Maynard. Before I was governor of Virginia back in England, do you know what he did to me?
Well, I heard...
You heard... How did you hear?
The governor of North Carolina, he tells everyone...
I hate him!
And he shall have his due.
Yes.
When word gets back to England that his river harbors the notorious pirate Blackbeard...
And that the governor shares the pirate's booty...
All I need is two sloops, governor.
And you shall have them. And a reward.
What reward?
Bring me the head of Blackbeard and name your reward.
Really?
Really.
Thank you, governor.
Anna.
Yes, Edward?
I'm tired.
You don't look well, Edward.
I mean, I'm tired of this life. Of piracy, of slaughter. Come to the bow of the ship. I want to show you something. Look there.
And to see what?
The land.
What of it?
The governor has promised me all the land from my vessel at anchor as center and 10 miles in radius out from it in the form of a circle. What do you think?
Oh, you're tired, Edward. And somehow older. Yes, to me, older. And your beard.
What of it?
Gray.
Where?
Here, and here, and here.
What?
Watch! Watch! What was that? Whose rooms? Men of war! Stop it! Flying the royal flag coming his way! Broadside!
Now, this is what happened. Maynard's two sloops closed on Blackbeard, one on each side of Teach's vessel, and the three ships were held together by grappling hooks. And it was a furious sight. There was not one man on either side who did not receive some mark, who did not add some of his blood to the slippery decks. Then Blackbeard was boarded midst a hail of grape shot in which Blackbeard received 3 pellets in his leg. Maynard found the pirate leaning against the mainmast, shot him.
No quarter!
And the men fell back to watch their captain's duel. It was a wonderful duel, and it lasted over an hour. And toward the end of it, Maynard Dublade then advanced in Kona de Cis Cart Cis. Teach parried, then performed the striking Molinet and lunged into the cart line. Lunged and slipped. Slipped, yet on his knees, parried Maynard once, twice, but the third time... And Teach was dead, and the duel was over. And so was the battle, for Blackbeard's men had no heart for it anymore. Lieutenant Maynard, having declared himself victor and new master of Blackbeard's boat, went below into the pirates' quarters.
Hannah.
Oh, my darling.
Get up, Hannah.
Oh, bend your cheek to me.
I don't want to.
What?
Come on deck, Hannah.
For what reason?
Wife of a pirate and his spur.
For what reason do you want me on deck?
To be hanged.
Really?
Upon my word.
And this is what Lieutenant Maynard did to the Teach family. He wrecked it. He hanged Hannah Teach, and he cut off Edward Teach's head. The head he mounted on the prow of the ship and sailed it proudly into Roanoke Harbor, tacking beautifully in such a manner that the black beard of Edward Teach streamed gracefully on the soft evening wind. A gull soared down to have a look, but when it saw what it was, it screamed and flew away. In just a moment, Thomas Highland will tell you about next week's crime classic. Blackbeard's 14th Wife, tonight's crime classic, was adapted from the original court reports and newspaper accounts by Morton Fine and David Friedkin. The music was composed and conducted by Bernard Herrmann, and the program is produced and directed by Elliot Lewis. Thomas Highland is portrayed on radio by Lou Merrill. In tonight's story, William Conrad was heard as Teach, Betty Harford as Hannah, and Alastair Duncan as Maynard. Featured in the cast were Ben Wright, Joseph Kearns, Richard Peel, and Jack Crucian. Bob Lamon speaking. Here again is Thomas Highland.
Next week, Camelot, England, in the year 600, and the troubles caused by Guinevere, who was married to Arthur and loved by Lancelot. My report to you will be on the triangle on the round table. Thank you. Good night.
America's favorite teenage rage, Junior Miss, now brings us her haphazard adventures every Thursday evening on most of these same stations. That makes her a perfect listening companion to Millie Bronson, heroine of CBS Radio's wacky Thursday night series titled Meet Millie. In moving to Thursday evenings, Junior Miss also keeps company with Ray Milland of Meet Mr. McNutley comedy fame. Tomorrow night, don't miss Milland with a teenage problem of his own in the shapely shape of a visiting niece and her strange young swain. Tomorrow night, at the Star's address. Hear The American Way, starring Horace Hite, Thursday nights on the CBS Radio Network.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.